Welcome to International Trade Minute, Quickfire Trade News, the podcast that delivers the pulse of global commerce directly to your ears, brought to you by Rydell Law Firm. Here we understand that time is a precious commodity, and staying ahead of the curve is not just an advantage, it's a necessity. As seasoned international trade practitioners, you don't need the basics. You need a succinct narrative of the week's critical developments in a language that's as complex as the topics we cover. Today, as always, we'll dive straight into the discourse that matters, shedding light on the intricate cogs and wheels turning within the world of international trade. From policy shifts and legal disputes to sanctions and geopolitical maneuvers, we're here to ensure that you remain informed and one step ahead in an industry that never sleeps. So, let's gear up for an insightful journey through the latest happenings that are redefining the landscape of global trade.
Welcome to International Trade Minute. Today, we explore the escalating U.S.-Mexico dispute over genetically modified GM corn. This conflict extends beyond agriculture, potentially reshaping international trade litigation and biotech progress. Mexico's presidential decree to ban GM corn in tortillas and dough aims to protect its cultural diet and native maize strains, alongside addressing health concerns about GM crops. This move has intensified tensions with North America, particularly the U.S., where 90% of corn crops are genetically modified and considered safe. Despite decades of pressure, Mexico maintains its quarter-century ban on cultivating GM corn, prioritizing public health and agricultural heritage. This clash isn't just about commerce. It's a cultural standoff, a collision of ideologies, with Mexico embracing a more conservative approach to biotechnology, while the U.S. champions a liberal stance, a stance that's backed up by hard economics. Bear in mind that the dispute isn't just a cause for a diplomatic row, it has extensive cascade effects, potentially impacting billion-dollar biotech firms like Bayer and Syngenta. As this saga unfolds, it's not just the present stakes at play. Enter glyphosate, the pesticide bedfellow of GM corn and a contentious topic for its purported health implications. Mexico's not only targeting GM crops, but also this chemical, the key ingredient in Roundup. Numerous studies have been cited to back up claims against glyphosate, drawing correlations with a staggering increase in chronic diseases like hypertension, diabetes, and cancer. The U.S. agricultural sector, bolstered by GM seeds, remains a powerhouse for efficiency and yield. Advocates promote GM technology as safe and proven, while Mexico has raised substantial concerns, evidenced by a detailed 200-page rebuttal to a U.S. trade violation claim, supported by studies highlighting the risks of GM corn and glyphosate, particularly given its prevalence in the Mexican diet and potential as an endocrine disruptor. This dispute extends beyond agriculture into significant trade and regulatory arenas. The USMCA trade panel now faces the complex task of evaluating science, policy, and indigenous rights to determine outcomes that could impact cultural, environmental, and economic spheres. As this matter escalates within the USMCA's framework, whatever outcome looms on the horizon will likely serve as a precedent-setting landmark. It could shift the future of North American agriculture, shape the biotechnological narrative, and redraw the lines of what's permissible under international trade law. This is no negligible dispute. It's one where the fields of law, science, and agriculture intersect, where economic behemoths and deep-seated cultural values are in stiff contention. And as we process this complex fabric of international trade minutiae, one thing becomes abundantly clear. The implications are vast, the stakes are high, and the world is watching with bated breath as this trade tussle unfolds. Stay with us here at International Trade Minute for more insightful updates on this and other pressing trade stories. In the recent case of iDig Texas v. Kerry Krieger, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit delivered a ruling that underscores the complexities surrounding product origin claims, a matter particularly pertinent to international trade practitioners focused on compliance and market access. At the heart of this legal tussle lay the assertion by iDig Texas that its skid steer attachments were made in the USA, a statement contested by competitor Kerry Krieger, who believed this to be a misrepresentation given the inclusion of foreign-sourced components in the products. The appellate court's decision highlights a gray area in product origin claims, emphasizing that a claim such as made in the USA may be infused with ambiguity. The crux lies in interpreting what making a product entails, whether it refers solely to the assembly of the final product or if it also incorporates the origin of its components. The court drew parallels with the automobile industry, citing the example of Chrysler and how the American public might perceive their American-made cars, even if they integrated parts manufactured abroad. Importantly, the judges noted the binary nature of a statement's truthfulness. It can be literally false only if it is unambiguous to begin with. The idea that an advertisement claiming 100% American-made skid steer attachments may imply only some products are entirely composed of domestic parts, whereas others are merely assembled in the U.S. from international components, was a key factor in the court's reasoning. From a broader perspective, the ruling not only affects the two parties involved, but also echoes through the corridors of businesses across the United States, grappling with national pride and consumer sentiment towards domestically produced goods. Patriotic branding, often employed by companies to ingratiate their products with domestic consumers, must now be examined under this legal precedent to ensure claims do not edge towards being misleading. Moving forward, businesses will have to tread carefully, ensuring their Made in USA claims do not overpromise and underdeliver in the eyes of the law and consumers. It's a reminder to international trade practitioners to be meticulous in tracing their products' origins and in crafting marketing messages that can hold up under judicial scrutiny. This case serves as a legal beacon, signaling the increasing scrutiny of product origins and reinforcing the necessity for transparency and clarity, principles that are fundamental in international trade. As the geopolitical chessboard continues its dynamic shifts, a recent move by Russia has sent ripples across diplomatic waters. In an act of assertive foreign policy, the Russian Federation cast its veto against the extension of the mandate for the United Nations panel of experts on DPRK, effectively dissolving the primary enforcement mechanism for the myriad of sanctions against North Korea that span over a decade. The legacy of sanctions on the DPRK, or North Korea as we commonly refer to it, dates back to 2006, following its first nuclear test. At that time, the international community, speaking in unison through the UN Security Council, sought to clamp down on the Hermit Kingdom's nuclear ambitions. But as the years ticked by and successive nuclear and missile tests persisted, sanctions tightened their grip through 9 rounds of Security Council resolutions, each met with the unanimous consent of the Council, until now. With the introduction of each new resolution, the panel of experts has stood as the watchdog, scrutinizing compliance and flagging violations, acting as the bulwark against North Korea's nuclear advancements. The panel's mandate was seamlessly renewed each year, a testament to shared concerns over nuclear proliferation. Nevertheless, all streaks eventually come to an end. The Russian veto marks a seismic shift, an unyielding niet that echoes through the halls of power, shutting down any further extension of the panel's authority. The rationale from the Russian delegation points to a landscape transformed since 2006. They maintain that continuing the sanctions with the objective of reining in DPRK's nuclear capabilities is no longer pertinent, arguing that it is both outdated and detached from reality. The strategic calculation behind this veto is dense with implications for international relations, and seasoned trade practitioners will acknowledge the delicate balancing act it catalyzes. China and Russia had initially tabled a proposition that encompassed a sunset clause, aiming to scale back the sanctions over time. Conversely, the United States and allied countries view the prolonged sanctions as a non-negotiable factor in stabilizing the region. In a setting where international politics is often described as theater, this episode is rife with irony. Critics of the Russian move label it a threat to the stability of the UN Security Council and the post-World War II international order, citing the United States' own propensity toward exercising its veto powers. This impasse raises the question of what constitutes destabilization in a system where superpowers habitually use vetoes to uphold national interests. Moreover, in an environment where sanctions are wielded as the softer armaments of war, the effectiveness of such economic constraints is under scrutiny. North Korea's nuclear status, an established fact despite the raft of sanctions, draws attention to the fundamental question: have these punitive measures been effective or merely symbolic? The DPRK leadership has openly criticized the efficacy of sanctions, advocating that their nuclear armament is a necessary shield against existential threats rather than a tool of aggression. The anecdote of Kim Jong-un's interaction with Dennis Rodman serves as an arresting reminder of the DPRK's perspective. The North Korean leader has observed the fates of regimes in Libya and Iraq, noting that for all their compliance or deterrence, they fell victim to shifts in U.S. foreign policy. In stark contrast, nuclear-armed Pakistan has managed to avoid a change of regime approach from the United States. For Pyongyang, these observations underline the sobering logic of nuclear deterrence. As international trade practitioners dissect these developments, they're keenly aware of the intricate dance between enforcing sanctions and acknowledging the need for dialogue. The eyes of the world now turn to watch how traditional alliances and adversarial relations may morph in response. Will this veto expedite a recalibration of strategies concerning the Korean Peninsula? Can new channels of negotiation and diplomatic engagement emerge from the ashes of a paralyzed sanctions regime? As we ponder the imbroglio's impact on global trade and regional stability, other pieces on the geopolitical board shuffle in response, revealing an ever-evolving puzzle. The trotting out of sanctions has stretched far and wide, from Iran to Russia, Venezuela to Syria, and now the sudden halt in the case of North Korea stretches our understanding of enforcement and compliance in an international context rife with nuance. The disbandment of the UN panel of experts following the Russian veto is a definitive statement. It embodies a call for a shift in stance towards North Korea, be that willing engagement, tacit acceptance, or an unspoken recognition of the DPRK's place within the nuclear club. The outcome of the UN Security Council's deadlock becomes a crucible of anticipation and concern. International trade professionals brace for the implications, ready to adapt, respond, and realign within an altered paradigm of sanctions and diplomacy. In today's segment, we explore the impact of escalating U.S. and Chinese sanctions on businesses. Companies are forced to navigate this geopolitical conflict carefully, ensuring compliance to avoid legal pitfalls and maintain operations. Understanding the specifics of sanctions lists and prohibited entities is critical to prevent costly violations. Moreover, for businesses caught in these adversarial conditions, diversifying supply chains has become essential, not only to mitigate risks, but also to avoid disruptions by adapting to alternate markets and suppliers. Adopting technology for compliance management systems can be a lifesaver in this turbulent sea. Automating due diligence processes, for example, can streamline operations and facilitate real-time updates, a key factor when sanctions regulations can change with the political tides. It's also a time for businesses to embrace ethical grounding as their compass. Upholding standards of corporate responsibility isn't just about legal adherence. It's about building reputational resilience that can withstand the waves of geopolitical strife. But let's not forget the importance of keeping a close watch on the horizon. Continuous monitoring of both sanctioned developments and global events allows businesses to anticipate changes and react proactively rather than being caught off guard. Engaging with professional networks like trade associations that can lobby for clearer rules can also prove invaluable. Collective lobbying can affect how sanctions are implemented and perhaps even foster a degree of harmonization that simplifies compliance obligations. Lastly, a company's best defense may lie in its people. Training staff to understand the nuances of U.S.-China trade policies, not just the written word of the law, but its spirit and the geopolitical forces at play, can turn a possible threat into an informed strategy. In short, the intersection of U.S. and Chinese sanctions creates a complex puzzle, demanding a response that is dynamic, informed, and forward-thinking. Companies that approach this challenge with a well-charted strategy and a proactive stance stand a better chance of navigating through these choppy trade waters. In this week's International Trade Minute, we examined key issues impacting global commerce. We discussed the significant trade dispute involving GM corn that spans the agricultural and trade sectors of the U.S. and Mexico. We also analyzed the implications of Made in USA labels in light of the IDIG Texas lawsuit and the strategic shifts resulting from Russia's veto of continued North Korea sanctions at the UN Security Council. Additionally, we covered the complexities of navigating U.S.-China sanctions, providing strategies for maintaining compliance amidst growing legal tensions. For trade professionals, staying informed is crucial in a volatile environment where adaptability and strategic foresight are essential. Today's insights reinforce the importance of informed decision-making in this dynamic field. Brought to you by Rydell Law Firm, this is International Trade Minute signing off. Trust in the timeliness and accuracy of our coverage to keep you at the forefront of the international trade conversation. Be certain to tune in next week for another concise, information-packed update on the very pulse of global trade law. Until then, keep agile, stay informed, and continue to lead the way in international commerce. Goodbye, and have a prosperous week ahead.